Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, we are recording on a Thursday. Sorry it's so late in the week, but this is when the final Premier League match was finally played. And what a match it was for any of you that owned Harry Kane. Four goals, goes from two goals behind to two goals ahead in the chase for the golden boot. Wow, I guess, is really the main thing.
Wait, he had four goals today?
Uh-huh.
That's crazy. That's crazy pants.
Yeah, it's real good. Also, for all you Philippe Lesniak owners, managed to get an assist. Also, he wasn't in the game, as far as I could see, until after the match, because they weren't showing his name under the assists, and then like 30 minutes after matches it showed up. It was like,
Is he wearing an invisibility cloak? He's wearing an invisibility cloak. He's like, I'm going to sneak on here and get an extra sneaky goal. He's like the butler in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, but I thought it was really funny that the Premier League was like, no, he's been in there the whole time. Shut up. What are you talking about? I was like, okay, I saw you. But anyway, obviously, huge game with huge fantasy implications there. Heung-min Son also scoring two goals. He's obviously the cheap midfielder for Tottenham. But Tottenham conceding a very frustrating goal, which means in this double week in which they played two teams, one barely in the top 10, one outside the top 10 in goals scored, managed to keep zero clean sheets. That must be very frustrating. But as long as you owned one of the attackers, you're probably not too upset about it.
Yeah.
But Rob, before we get into the meat of the podcast, I did want to talk about strategy a little bit because
last season,
it just makes sense. Last season, both of us bench boosted match week 38, and that didn't work out for either of us particularly. So, do we triple captain 38?
I ended up triple captaining last year 38 on Kevin De Bruyne,
I think I did Kane against Newcastle,
and the play should have been
Giroud.
Olivier Giroud, yeah,
right. And neither of us did that, and both of us should have. This week, obviously we both bench boosted, but I did a little math work here. So with my bench boost, ended up on 143 points. I think it'll be 145 by the time Kane's bonuses come in. But if I had triple captained with either Kane or Alexis, I would have had 165 plus. And coming into this week, I was definitely not on the side of the people that say to triple captain instead of bench boost, and that bench boost may be an overrated chip. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm starting to lean that way. How are you feeling about it?
It all depends on what people – I think at the end of the year, it all depends on who you're chasing and what you're playing for. If you're playing for overall rank and things like that, you basically have to play what's in front of you. If you're chasing someone in your mini league, you kind of have to go with the fish to keep, to keep up with the Joneses. Harry Kane, four goals today, makes everyone look foolish. For not being like, oh, I should have triple captained or, captained Kane during the double game week. But Alexis wasn't a bad play either. Kevin De Bruyne wasn't an awful play. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened this week that basically was supposed to happen. Everybody who kind of had big, big money implications on their salary cap, except for Eden Hazard and Diego Costa. So basically Chelsea guys basically are crapping the fantasy bet.
Not the defenders. Well, as long as you get the ones that started, which, by the way, we said would be Azpilicueta on the show.
Yeah. And then Alonso was going to sit, and then they'll flip flop this week. And I think Azpilicueta sits, and I think Alonso starts.
I don't think Azpilicueta sits. He will have played all 38 matches if he plays.
Doesn't matter. They have guys in the back that need to play.
Nah.
John Terry, Kurt Zouma.
They can both still play. Ake on the bench.
No, Ake's starting. I can tell you that right now.
I don't know.
Trust me, I'd rather have Azpilicueta out there and get him full 38. I believe he'll be in the top five in minutes played for the Premier League. I don't think he's been subbed off. So, I mean, he's got to be in the top five. But, yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You know, Chelsea has nothing to play for. And we're probably going to see a lot of things, you know, but the game's going to center around one player. And he's a defender, and his name's not Caesar, and his name's not Marcus. So,
fair enough. Without obviously knowing what next season is going to look like, although the incredible Ben Krellin already has made up a spreadsheet of what he thinks next season will look like, with the doubles being 34 and 37, which will be very similar to last season. Do you think you'll wait on your bench boost this long, or do you think you may use it if you just happen to have a pretty strong team at some point instead of waiting for this double? Well, first of all, how many points did you get off your bench this week with your bench boost?
Off my bench was poo. Actually, it wasn't poo. It was 25.
Okay. I only got 10.
With I got
King
25.
And 1 point from Holgate, who didn't even play the second half of the match he played.
Yeah. Victor and Ichibi pooped the sheets for me. Yeah. It was a gamble, but, you know, whatever. He didn't cost me anything, but he cost me more points. But
it wasn't
whatever.
Worse than Gabbiadini, was it?
Oh, he had 1 point. I think Gabbiadini had zero. Yeah, he broke even.
So there you go.
But I actually saw Ben Krellin's Twitter and his document that he produced. But I was actually reading something that there actually could be an early double game week for a couple teams in week two.
It's not for United. Because the European Cup thing between the Europa League winner and the Champions League winner, if United are in that, it'll actually be the week before the season starts. So
okay. Well, we don't even know when the season starts. It's all speculation. They could throw a wrench. It's not officially announced until June 14th.
Okay, that's fair. But as of now, it looks like it'll be August 13th that it'll launch, which also makes sense because, never mind, I can't share that information.
Fine.
I'll tell you off air.
Fine.
But anyway, we are going to quickly move away from that moment. but anyway, so... I think I'm going to triple caption in the big double game week next year instead of bench boost.
Yeah, I agree. I think having your money on one player is a good idea. I think I'd rather have the cumulative of one than the mass of, you know, a dozen.
Yeah, I guess as you said, though, there is a little bit of variance because it depends on there being a good double.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which sometimes there aren't. But man, this is like 2 years in a row that the week I bench boosted, I would have been better off had I captained or triple captained somebody. And I did captain Alexis and could have captained Kane. Mm-hmm. Even if I just put the triple captain on Alexis, that would have worked out. What I should have done is looked at last week, because last week I did triple captain Alexis, and it should have been about the same amount of points, right? Because he scored 2 goals in both?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was a goal and an assist.
Oh, goal and assist. Yep.
Yeah. So it would have been interesting to see if I had compared that, but I didn't.
I made the big mistake of taking out Alexis for De Bruyne, and I left in Hazard, and it was a big pie in the face. I would have been at 200. So.
Oh, dang, would you?
Mm. Man.
What did you end up on this week?
Well, it'll be 159. It'll be 159 when...
It's more than me. Would have had that many, again, if I had triple captain instead of bench boosted. But that's us done talking about that for this season anyway. So anyway, we can do a little bit of which way do you want to do? Do you want to do start sets or do you want to do?
Oh, I don't care. Well, we kind of left a little looking hanging Chad last week when. So if you still have your all out attack at your discretion, remember we had this discussion last week. You know, defense this week has kind of been the bread and butter of a lot of fantasy high scoring outputs. If you hit on the right defenders, you monopolize your scoring title or your scoring total. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an all out attack in your favor, and I know you've mentioned in the past that you may want the extra defender instead of the extra attacker, are you still feeling that way based on who you have on your roster right now or based on the games that, you know, the fixtures at hand? Is it better to bring in a defender and waste the AOA or to just go all out attack and, you know, basically I'm dancing with the date that brought me?
Yeah, I'm less bullish on that than I was last week. Just because I have... Holding and Holgate and Maguire. Maguire might be injured and is playing Tottenham. Holgate against Arsenal, I think Arsenal score. Holding against Everton, and I think Everton score. So then the question becomes, where do I make my changes, right? Because I, for reasons of price, stuck with Gabagoo, which led to me having Vertonghen instead of Azpilicueta, which obviously hurt a whole lot. That was my mistake of the week.
What are you going to do? You know,
and if he scores that penalty, it's probably about level.
You know, I mean, he had zero goals in, you know, 60-something games, you know, Premier League games as Pulquette, and then he had two in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and an assist as well.
In a month. It's crazy.
Oh, the Premier League winning assist, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't he the one that crossed into Batshuayi?
That he most certainly did.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, I'm less bullish on that now. I'm going to make two swaps for sure. One's going to be getting Gabbiadini out, and I'll either take out Gabbiadini and Matic, in which case I would use my all-out attack because I will bring in extra forward players, or I'll take out Gabbiadini and one of Holding, Holgate, and Maguire. But the unfortunate thing about that is I pretty much have the cheapest starting defense possible, with Maguire at 4-4, Holgate at, I think, 4-1, Holding and Stevens at 4 even, if memory serves. At least that's when I bought them. So yeah, a little bit regret how hard I said that last week, just because of how my team broke it down. But if you have like a United defender, a Liverpool defender, and a Tottenham defender, I'd play all three of those over whoever your fifth midfielder is, or most teams, whoever your third forward is.
I'd even say if you owned a City defender as well. I think City is going to.
I can't with them anymore. I bought in hard this week, and they just.
They're playing Watford. Come on.
Yeah, but earlier this week, you know, they were playing West Brom and Leicester.
Yeah.
You know, they played Middlesbrough and conceded two. Like, it's.
I think Liverpool is the biggest tout this week. Chelsea as well. So.
Yeah, I think it's sneaky. Yeah. I like Chelsea a little bit less because I don't know what's going to be happening at the back there. But I can see why you're saying that against Sunderland, who are already going down. Although it is a one last Defoe audition, although the West Ham stuff seems to make a little too much sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, cool. So let's do a little bit of either or. I didn't actually mock up a whole lot, but I mentioned that I need to get rid of Gabbiadini.
I wish there was a way you could ship out guys midweek and be like, yeah, I don't like him. He's gone.
Not to be too much of a corporate show, but you can do that in the Goal game, which you can find at goal.com under the gaming tab.
A great, great game. Kevin's always there. He's writing up good stuff. Go check it. Check it out.
Yeah, after that blatant corporization. So among the forwards that I'm looking at, I'm kind of in that sixes price range, right? So
you have Gabby, it's Llorente.
Right?
You can
well,
stop talking.
I know, but you just hate my boy Vokesy, man. Four goals in five matches. Second most in the league over that period, behind now Harry Kane with his, nine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind you going either direction, but I think Llorente is the better play this week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's settled.
Yeah. You have any others, or you want me to jump into a couple I have?
Yeah, you can jump into a couple. Actually, let's do a couple defensive midfielders.
Sure.
Kapu scored again. Mm-hmm. Matic has had two assists in two consecutive games, but hasn't done much yet. Wanyama had an assist today. He's been doing a bunch of stuff lately. I don't have his player page up in front of me. I feel like he has like a goal and two assists in his last five. If you have to have any of those like four dot whatever midfielders, is there one that particularly catches your fancy at the moment?
Like four dot less than 5 million is what you're saying? Yeah. Or yeah, I mean, I was gonna say Albrighton into that category, but he's at five
he's
now.
He's at five
so.
Even, yeah.
Yeah. You
got your boy Stanislas, you got my boy Fraser. Allen hasn't done anything for a while. Kapu, Matic, Fair.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a defensive midfielder, but how about Junior Stanislas at Bournemouth?
Yeah.
That game's gonna be on tilt, and I feel like there's gonna be a lot of goals and a lot of excitement in that game. And from what he's got two goals in his last two games since being reinserted back into the fantasy, you know, universe, basically. Mm. And you know, he's not really the anti Josh King play because you kind of have to play Josh King now. I mean, he's basically a staple. He's this year's Riyad Mahrez. Mm. Let's be honest.
It's just a shame that he didn't become striker till January. And again, kind of apologies to Callum Wilson, whose injury is what opened this up for him. But
oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, it brings the question into next year, but we're not talking about next year yet. But
we shouldn't talk about this on air. But do you want to do a 2017-18 prediction thing next week?
Yeah, we can absolutely
like one
do
of those like way too early mock drafts that happen the day after
absolutely.
The draft.
We'll predict the team and predict prices and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. So tune in next week when we get all crazy and
when we get loco crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the under 5.0 midfield.
Wanyama is a goal and an assist, by the way.
Yeah, Stanislas Matic is not a bad call because I think he's been contributing from the front from the that mid tape mid range stuff. He's got a goal and an assist in his last four, which is pretty decent return for him. I mean, there's not really much.
Yeah.
Maybe
Would you keep Costa this week? I'm just thinking, if you're trying to free up money, okay.
No, absolutely not.
Do you think Mishy gets the start again, or do you think he does play and just doesn't do anything?
I think Mishy starts again. There's no reason to play Diego Costa again this year. And I think, because I don't think we see Hazard as well.
Oh, snap. Are Spain at the whatchamajigger? Confederations Cup?
Did they win anything?
I don't know.
Didn't Portugal win everything?
Portugal did win the Euros. Mm. All right, I'll continue looking this up while we move on. Those were the ones I was curious about as far as either or. So you got for me?
I'll go with the first game listed on the official game this week, Arsenal-Everton. And we'll start up top. Olivier Giroud has been last year he was the last three games of the week, darling. This year he's basically doing the same thing. You know, Lukaku is the antithesis of that. He's basically been kind of consistent all year, scoring goals, and he's up there for the Golden Boot. Unfortunately, Harry Kane had four today, so he's been lapped a little bit. Mm-hmm. But who are you going with this week, Olivier Giroud or Romelu Lukaku?
I hate this, but doesn't it have to be Giroud, though?
It has to be. You know why? You know why it has to be? Because Arsenal's defense in the last six games. That's why. We talked about this yesterday in our DFS show.
Giroud does this every year.
Yep. We talked about this yesterday in our DFS show. Three goals in their last six games for Arsenal defense let in. That's good enough for me. I think that they blank Everton. I don't think Lukaku does much of anything. I think he gets taken out of the game, from a fantasy standpoint. So if you're a Lukaku owner, I'd probably look in a different direction to allocate your funds. And Giroud is probably the lateralist move possible.
Yeah. And Everton, by the way, are like so heavily. They're in seventh, I think, but like profoundly.
Yeah, they're buried there. They're not going anywhere. I think there's only six teams that can actually move this
week. Yeah, one of my favorite stats of the week was that if you took away every Romelu Lukaku goal for Everton this year, they'd still be seventh.
That's pretty funny,
right?
That's actually pretty funny. That's insane that this year's been kind of wacky with things. You know, Chelsea
was the year that the top six isolated.
Yeah. Stayed the top six. Yep.
Yeah. It's like somebody on our Premier League show at the weekend was saying it's the top six, the bottom 13, and just Everton just like weirdly floating in the middle. Like Swansea, who just reached safety last week, are less than 10 points away from eighth.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, remember when West Brom was in sixth?
Yeah. Well, that was just Matt Phillips. He got hurt and everything went south.
Remember that old gag when West Brom actually was doing stuff when Matt Phillips was running the nation from his midfield spot?
He should have been the Mahrez of this year. If you if you swapped directly from Phillips to King like January 1, you had a Mahrez return.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. There's tons of bizarre stuff, and I'm going to do some wacky research stuff for next week. I have one for this week when we do price changes because it's one of my guys that I like to cry about, and Kevin likes to shun him to the dumpster.
Yeah, by the way, looking at the Confederations Cup groups, really, you just hate it if you're an Arsenal fan, because both Chile and Germany, so both Alexis and Otsel have more matches over the summer, although it might not be an issue if both of them leave. But that is
it's very true. It's very true. So you want to do more? I got some more either-ors.
Yeah,
you want to go? So since Christian Eriksen didn't play today at all, right? He didn't get subbed in, did he?
He did not.
Okay, so that's a good one for you. Christian Eriksen or Philippe Coutinho?
Coutinho, but we'll talk about it more later.
Oh, really? Because you want to glorify and enamor him in your start senses? Ooh. Are you going to bury him somewhere?
Yeah. Yep.
Ooh, really?
Ooh.
I'm excited. I went from 6 to midnight real quick.
Yep.
All right, I got one more.
Mm-hmm.
Cesc Fabregas
or
Gylfi Sigurdsson?
Oh, damn it. I committed too early. In formats.
Both have interesting fixtures. Chelsea takes on Sunderland. Swansea is home to West Brom.
Yeah. Oof. If you could guarantee me they both start, I take Cesc.
Yeah.
Man, Chelsea are doing some weird stuff with that team, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Siggy in what I assume will be his last match for Swansea. But again, if I knew both were starting, I'd go Fabregas.
Yeah, The problem with the official game is that the lineups lock too early before you start seeing lineups. That's my biggest conundrum and biggest question with this game, that you don't actually aren't allowed to monopolize your own team to, you know, into the facet of the rules. That's the only problem I have with this, that the lineups lock before you get to see a lineup.
Yeah,
but which is crazy, but whatever, you know, it's their game. They can do whatever they want.
It is just how it is for now.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll change it up. They're going to change it up. There's things changing.
Exciting changes. All right. Let's get into a little bit of start sits action for the last time this season.
We can do price changes. Let's do price changes.
That's what I meant. Changes. I actually didn't mean price changes. I said the wrong thing because I'm dumb.
Yeah. They've kind of been slow to come in. I know the games have been, you know, dragged out since last Friday to today, which is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. You're probably listening to this now, so it's actually Friday. So welcome to the here and now. So the price changes on the ups. Peter Cech has gone up. I think it's a double game week carryover. I think people are trusting him they've invested in him before they saw who Arsenal actually played this week. And, you know, it's like, Peter Cech did good these double game weeks. So I think I'm just going to go with him. On defense, Rob Holding, Marcus Alonso, Ryan Bertrand have gone up. Rob Holding is a defensive, you know, cheap defender, but I think it's the same thing as, you know, the Peter Cech syndrome that I just mentioned. Marcus Alonso is a good one because I think people saw that he didn't play last week and he'll probably definitely play this week. So I think they're jumping on that, the best defender in the Premier official game scoring wise. You know, like how I prefaced that, Kevin, I fixed that post. I put fantasy scoring wise defender.
Nice.
But, so Marcus Alonso is a good bet this week. Ryan Bertrand is the best Saints defender for your buck. You know, he plays a wing back. Everybody else is not healthy. Sure, Jack Stevens and Yoshida are good, but you want a guy who's going to be more on the offensive end. Through the midfield, Pedro, Mark Albrighton, Philippe Coutinho, Kevin De Bruyne have all gone up. Pedro, it's probably the speculation that Hazard may not feature. Albrighton is cheap. Philippe Coutinho may be one of the better options this week with Liverpool taking on a Middlesbrough team who can't stop anything. And Kevin De Bruyne, 2 goals, 3 assists in his last three, and they're at Watford. The City may just come out and blow their doors off just to see it, just to, you know, make a last win with an exclamation point so they can cruise into Champions League. And then on forwards, Gabriel Jesus and Fernando Llorente. Llorente, 3 goals and 4. He's a cheap AOA guy I think people are probably monopolizing on because he's in form. Swansea are home to West Brom. It's a decent enough fixture. I think that there's some value there on the bone at 6.2 or 6.3 now. And the interesting thing, I'm leaving Gabriel Jesus for last because we mentioned the other day on one of our other shows that he kind of played in the wide side role with Aguero playing the tip. You think next year, going into next year, Gabriel Jesus – either A, stays in that role, B, plays a more direct complementary role of Sergio Aguero, or completely replaces Aguero in that tip of the spear?
Man, that's really hard to say. Because obviously you have Sané in there, you have Sterling in there as well. I don't know. What I can tell you is he'll be too overpriced next year. Because based on his performances, he deserves to have a really high price. But I don't think he will live up to it because of this issue. Because
he's easily going to start at 9. Let's put it that way. He's easily starting at 9.
Oh, I mean, that's what he did this year before we knew he was good at all. The problem is, A, his price will be really high because he's been good. B, his price will be really high because he'll be the obvious replacement option to the people that draw up the FPL prices. Mm-hmm. So kind of like DFS, where backups are only like 500 less than their starting counterparts, just in case they miss out so they don't get jobbed too easily there. Mm-hmm. But and basically, you have 3 attacking slots for Sané, Sterling, Jesus, and Aguero. I don't know how that's going to fall. I wish I had a better answer for you. But
it's good to have the depth, especially with them looking like they're going to, you know, go into the Champions League. That's what you need in the Champions League. You need depth and quality depth, especially when you get out of the group stages into the knockout round. That's basically what you need. Yeah, that's one thing I worry about Tottenham. I was going to say this to you later in the podcast. If you thought Spurs were built as they are right now with speculation of who they're bringing in, which really is kind of teetering on not much and not fantastic.
Yeah,
but do you think Spurs is built to be a Champions League team now? I personally think they're two players away. I think they need depth behind Harry Kane because Jansen is not the guy. And I think they need a second. They need a secondary, a better attacking defender when Rose and Walker can't play every game.
Yep. And unfortunately, I think there's two more that we could address, which are winger, if Lamella isn't coming back or fit, and we sell Sissoko. But we'd have to do both of those to need a winger. And another center back. Because if we're intent on playing back three, we need another option there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. Patrick Schick is a player that is very likely to come in as a forward, but he's even further behind in his development than Jansen is.
Yeah, so it's like pennies throwing pennies.
But what I will say, the great news that we discovered this year is that Son can actually deputize that role.
Yeah, absolutely, so. He can. If need be, he is.
But that means we need another winger because in those matches, Sissoko was playing. Not okay.
Exactly.
But if that's Lamella, I mean, that's an interesting thought. If Lamella had come on in every match that ended up being Sissoko, could we have won the title or could we made it out of the Champions League groups? I mean. Definitely would have been closer. How about
that? Yeah, I think Lamella brings a different facet to the game that they were lacking in most cases. He brings a skill level that I think that they were lacking in some cases. But, you know, hindsight, you know, if you can't stay healthy, you can't stay healthy. That's the worst thing possible. All right, on to the price downs. Tom Heaton went down. Every Middlesbrough defender has gone down. Martin Olsen has gone down for Swansea. Kyle Walker's gone down. Probably because worried about rotation, may not play, blah, blah, blah. Firmino has gone down. Oh, still owns in 9.8% of leagues. When's the last time you remember Roberto Firmino doing anything?
I don't.
Exactly. See, that's the funny thing. Lukaku has gone down. He's up against Arsenal, 3 goals in their last 6 games. I don't like him this week. I'll probably keep talking about him when we get into start sits. Who knows? You may have to stand by. Jermaine Defoe has gone down. 1 goal since... I'll give you a good guess, Kev. Here, I'll give you a multiple choice. Jermaine Defoe has scored 1 goal since Martin Luther King Day, Valentine's Day, or President's Day.
Man. I'll go Valentine's Day.
Exactly. He's got 1 goal since Valentine's Day. That is just stupid. But anyway, Troy Deeney has gone down. I usually only highlight the bigger guys.
Yeah.
And I left the best one for last because I did a little diving and researching. If anybody tunes into our DFS show, I'm kind of enamored with one James Milner. If he was a defender this year, kind of like, you know, the whole Eric Dyer defender, midfielder thing. He's currently sitting at 160 or 136, 39 points, I believe. I'm sorry, I completely bonked this up because I was supposed to be on that screen. I wasn't before I started this, but I'll get there eventually. Okay. Here we go. So James Milner has 136 points this year. Liverpool as a team have 13 clean sheets. That is 39 additional points that he would have garnered as a defender. You know where he would have ranked as a defender this year, Kev?
First?
Third, behind Alonso and Cahill.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And he would have finished in the, you know, he basically if you add his clean sheets into, you know, and he was a defender and he's not, and he was a midfielder, if you did it the opposite way, he would have been the top six for midfielders if, you know, he went the opposite way, if he was a defender and it was a midfielder, blah, blah, blah. So...
Interesting.
Just thought it was an interesting thing that, you know, next year he's probably going to be listed as a defender because I think that's probably where he's going to be. You know, he featured most of the games there. Who knows?
Which will be great because there's literally no way that Liverpool start next season with him as their starting left back.
No, I don't believe anyway. I think that that's one of Liverpool's main priorities going into next year, wherever they are in the Europas or, you know, in the Champions League maybe, you know, that Klopp is going to address that wide side defender with probably someone German. I can almost guarantee he's probably going to be a German guy.
Has to be, right? The one they just missed out on is Ricardo Rodriguez, who was starting to look like would stay at Wolfsburg forever, but it looks like he's heading to Milan.
Yeah, he's a great player. I think he'll fit right in with Milan's system there too. But
they're starting to look really good.
But. Yep, they have a lot of young players on the come, and you know they're rumored to bring in some. You know, not elite names, but people in the know of, you know, soccer. But
yeah, bringing in
names
Frank
that
Cassie,
are very, very useful guys. Very useful guys. Very strong through Europa, you know, league games. Strong through champion, you know, the Champions League, you know, slates. guys that you know, if you play the DFS for Champions League stuff, those are the guys that are mid-priced and give you the amount of value, and you only play them, you know, when the Champions League slate is available, and you're like, oh, I like this guy. That's the guy they're looking at. They're mm-hmm. looking at a lot of guys that are going to help them next year, and because Milan is tired of losing to Juve. It's basically what it's going to be.
Yeah, which is crazy because Serie A is clearly getting better, but Juve are still best. Which is,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but
it's
like crazy. Napoli have been doing pretty well, although they've fallen off in the second half. I like what Lazio are doing, especially Sergei can.
On Dogbia, that guy?
No. Kalisnich. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to be real. But I like what Lazio have. I like Felipe Anderson, even though he's been kind of meh. Kaita's been amazing. We don't need to get into Serie A stuff. I'm just saying, watch more of it. If you get bored watching La Liga, which you have to, because three teams always win, that's not true. It's actually expanded well. But just every time anybody gets fouled, everybody swarms the referee. I do not enjoy watching La Liga nearly as much as I enjoy watching Serie A.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, cool. So that concludes price ups and price downs. What do you think? We should take pay some bills with some commercials?
Yep, sounds good.
Cool.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We hope you enjoyed your commercial Real Madrid. No, there's nothing
commercial.
There. That was a bad exit. It wasn't there.
Whatever. It was a good effort. You try again. It's about quantity, not quality.
Kevin. That's what I always do. I take the Pedro Alvarez approach, which, by the way, allegedly he's on his way to Atlanta right now.
You are a Pedro Alvarez stalker.
It's true. Yep. That is accurate.
I wonder if I can go back and listen to every podcast. I guarantee you've named him, and we did a couple preseason ones, and I believe we did the Euros leading right into our podcast.
Yep.
I guarantee we probably did this calendar year from last year to now. We probably did what 50 podcasts.
Probably somewhere 50. In there with the Euros, yeah.
50. You probably mentioned him 90% of the time.
Hey, that's a little low, man. Come on now. Give me a little credit.
That was 40. That was 4. I'm 45.
No, I know. I'm saying it's probably more than that.
It's crazy.
He's the
best.
And I
love baseball. And I'm a baseball nut, dude. And that's just crazy pants.
He's literally the best third baseman with a last name that starts with A and ends with Alvarez, the Pirates I've ever had. you know what? Watch that not actually be true. But
yeah, people are googling it right now on Facebook.
That's all the typing. All right, so into start sits. For me, this is somebody that we were aiming to record last night, didn't end up being able to, and then realized there was a whole other match left. So we're like, oh well, we should probably wait for that anyway. But I had this player in my cells or sits, if you will, and then now all of a sudden he's in my starts. Can you think of a player that could have gone from somebody I was off on to somebody I might be on
after today? Are you talking about forwards?
Yeah, a little bit.
If I knew his middle name, I'm just going to make it. It may be Harold Archibald Kane.
Oh, wait. I should actually know this. It's pretty
Ichabod.
Dumb, too,
if I remember. Ichabod. His name's Ichabod, I bet.
Harry Edward Kane.
Of course it is.
Yeah, which is pretty dang British. anyway, he has literally doubled the shots on target, almost doubled the amount of goals over the last five. That happens when you score four mm-hmm. goals in one match. You move up the charts a whole lot. He's the obvious one. I was going to be off on him because I told you on the DFS show yesterday, only five away goals all season. Mm-hmm. And his last one had been against Watford in match week 19, heading into match week 38. And then almost doubled it in one day.
His ownership is going to spike on DFS.
That is correct. Yeah, it's going to be real, real crazy. But anyway, we already mentioned Gabriel Jesus. 3 goals, 2 assists over 5, and you like Llorente. I still like Volks, but I might go Llorente this week just to get away from the gruesome Gabby Goops. I'm now going to call him Gabby Goops until he proves himself again.
Run away from the Gabagoo monster. He's like a, he's like that creature on Fraggle Rock, the one that lives in the dumpster, like the hairy monster.
Oh, for sure. And he's definitely going to eat up all your fantasy points.
And he's Italian. I'm sorry. I'm not insulting anybody who is Italian who's listening to this. I'm just saying he's Italian. So just run. Run
away. All right. Just we're going to move on from that. In midfield, I have Mesut Ozil. He has the most accurate crosses, the second most chances created over the last 5 matches, and has 2 goals in that period as well to go along with an assist. Arsenal clearly going to be pushing forward. You already said that you like Giroud. Alexis obviously needs to show up because now he's, what, 3 behind in the golden boot chase. I just think Arsenal are going to pour on the style in this one. And Ozil has started to look a lot better. If he does stay at Arsenal, he's going to be one of those post-hype kind of guys where he was obviously huge 2 years ago, struggled last year. I think he could really have a great season next year. The stats, and I've mentioned this basically since like February, but the stats were saying he was performing better than his fantasy points were saying. The obvious issue was that the eye test wasn't confirming it.
He looked lazy. He looked like he was lazy on the pitch.
It sure did. But it'll be interesting next year. If he ends up getting a sub-9 price next year, like if he starts at like 8.5 or something like that, I could end up being very interested. Never mind. I'll share that next week. That's my midfield. Son, obviously, if you want him, he's the cheapest of the Tottenham guys. And obviously, and I mentioned this back when Rose was about to come back, that was the contingency. Is the second Rose came back, Son would drop out. And then what happened? Rose didn't come back. So you can play Son with confidence for now. The defenses I like, Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool, who you already mentioned, and Manchester United. Who do you have that you both like and dislike this week?
My likes are, I love Fernando Llorente, 6.2, ownership 7.4, 3 goals in 4 games for the Swans playing against West Brom, who can't defend very well right now. Give me Fernando. Through the midfield, I mentioned it before. I didn't even mean to mention him. I had to look up the price tags for midfielders under 5.0, and I had one listed at my starts. It's Junior Stanislas at 4.6, owned in 1% of leagues, 2 goals in his last 2. And if anybody watched Leicester today, they just got shellacked 6-1 by Spurs. They're punting. They're in punt formation and have nobody back to return it. Their defense is just not healthy. When you get your only goal from Ben Chilwell, on defense, I was trying to think of a good pun or a play on words because I think that it deserves it in this week's title. My start is going to be obvious. Kevin knows who it's going to be. It's John Terry. It's his last game at the Bridge. He's going to play, period. He's going to play until Conte thinks he doesn't want to play anymore, and then he's going to dramatically hand the armband to Gary Cahill and walk off into the sunset and just hope that his fake mom doesn't do any more porno videos. But Chelsea playing Sunderland this week. The only thing that worries me about the Chelsea defense is we saw what their second unit did against Watford, letting in 4 goals. I don't think that happens here. I think Chelsea want to end the season with a stamp. John Terry's last game, I think they want to stamp that as well. I'm not saying get him in your lineup, but for sentimental reasons, if you're a Chelsea fan, I guarantee he's probably going to be transferred in a lot just for the sake that if you're a United fan, I'm sure maybe Wayne Rooney may be transferred in a lot this week because it is rumored that maybe his last game as well. So people like sentimentality, they have nothing really to play for this week. You're not chasing anything. You're either in first place because you've been listening to us all year or you're in last place because you probably listened to us the whole year. Sentimentality is a good thing because, after all, we are fans of the beautiful game, and that's what we talk about. We just talk about the fantasy part of it. Me and Kevin are both fans of soccer. We watch tons of soccer. We discuss soccer. Me and Kevin probably text about 40 to 50 times a freaking day talking about soccer. So, I mean, it's crazy. And we're not even friends. Imagine if we were friends. It'd probably be like we'd probably have FaceTime sessions with us in like shin pads and our cleats and our boots.
Oh, full kit wankers.
Full kit, and I'd have my Peter Cech helmet on, and I'd be going crazy.
And I'd have my Peter Crouch teeth in. There you go.
So my starts, John Terry, Junior Stanislas, Fernando Llorente. I'll jump right into my sits.
I purposefully left Giroud off my list because I knew you were going to talk about him, and then you didn't.
I know, but I talked about him before. I talked about him twice.
Yeah, all right.
So on to my sits. It's gonna look familiar because I think that they're, you know, we saw a little bit of a rotation last week with Chelsea, and I think we're gonna see it again. Out front, I'm not playing Diego Costa. There's no reason for him to play, and I'm not risking that kind of coin on anything close to what Diego Costa is gonna not do in this game because I don't think he plays. Eden Hazard for the midfield. I don't trust it. I don't think he's gonna play. His price tag is not conducive for me to bring him in. I'd rather own Sanchez. I'd rather own Kevin De Bruyne. I'd even rather, you know, own somebody a little bit cheaper and maybe go to Philippe Coutinho, which is probably my move this week. So if we get into that later, we'll talk about it. And on defense, I mentioned it before. I don't think Espo will cut the plays, but now that Kevin mentioned that he's played every game, I can see that he may play. You know, hopefully he comes on and plays. Even if he plays like 30 minutes, I think that counts. So maybe we'll just do that. But, you know, he's the most informed defender over the last five games, averaging 7.2 points per game. So, I mean, he's hard to bench if you own him because the matchup is so alluring. But I'm just avoiding all Chelsea. I think I'm on a winning the league hangover is what's going on. I'm just avoiding my own team.
Fair enough. Yeah, for me, for my sits, the forward I'm sitting, Sergio Aguero, did get an assist in the double game week, but only got the one start. And there are probably at least five other forwards I'd rather have, and they're obviously all cheaper than him. Going back to the Jesus thing, if Aguero next year is like 11 and Jesus is like 10 or 10.5, who would you rather have?
I'd want to see who else City brings in there. If they add names to mess up the, you know, the players that are already there, you know, they add to the Sanes, they add to the Silvas, they add to the, you know, De Bruynes, they add to players that are basically in similar situations. It may be, you know, like convoluted. And to begin the year, I don't know if I could commit to either guy, but it's tough to say without prices and prices of guys who maybe, you know, I may like similarly.
Yeah.
I'd probably lean Jesus, you know, Jesus, because I think he's Pep's guy. He was brought in to be Pep's guy. And I think that he'd probably be more of a ride or die forward for him more than Aguero.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, when I said Harold Kane, it reminded me of the fact that there is a superhero named Harold Kane, which I'd never thought of before. But unfortunately, his power is superhuman speed. If only Kane was pacier, that would have been really cool. Originally, Hurricane was shown to possess speed enough to outrun a jackrabbit and a cougar at will. What a weird race. As a result of his speed, he was also undoubtedly the fastest draw on the Old West, though his aim did not really match his speed. Wow. What shade. Holy crap. This website throwing lots of shade on Harold Kane, the superhero. He's way faster than he can aim well.
Is the website throwing shade in it, or are you by changing your accent 12 times by reading his description on Wikipedia?
Well, because he's country, I decided I was going to do an accent. I'm sorry, sugar, did that offend you?
It's no problem, y'all.
All right. Harm diddly ding down.
And there goes the Southeast viewership ratings.
For my midfield, this is the debate that we were excited about doing in the off. I am not liking Philippe Coutinho this week.
Really?
Listen, every once in a while I go off on these weird gut calls. And this is one of them.
You sure it's not gas?
Oh, it might be. It might be indigestion. Who knows?
Yeah, see?
I've been having some pizza lately, so it could just be like a little bit of heartburn or something. This is largely a gut call. The stats obviously say Coutinho is going to be good. But I'm not, I don't know. I just have a feeling Borough are going to make things interesting. I said to you on our DFS show, I just have this really annoying feeling that Arsenal are going to get Champions League. And to do that, it'll require Liverpool to not show up. And if Liverpool don't win this match, it'll be because of Coutinho. Because Coutinho has just been winning several matches on his own of late. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having flashbacks to probably nobody but Tottenham and Liverpool fans even remember this match. But I think it was 2 or 3 years ago now, last day of the season. It looked like Tottenham were going to miss out on Europa League, which we were delighted about. And on the last day, Liverpool lost to Stoke in what was Gerrard's last ever game. They lost like 4-1 or some nonsense. Like, I don't know. It just feels like something dumb like that could happen again. And so if Liverpool don't show up, which I'm saying they won't, it means Coutinho didn't show up. And so that's it. I don't have any stats to back that up. Just a gut call. I think everybody's going to make that move, and I just don't think it's going to pan out the way people want it to. The defenses that I don't like this week are Manchester City, just because I don't believe in them anymore after this double game week. They burned me real super hard, and I don't think Arsenal or Everton end up keeping clean sheets. I think they both keep it low, but I don't think either of them keep it clean.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. So what are you doing this week? Obviously, you mentioned Coutinho earlier.
Yeah, for my team, I'm probably bringing in Coutinho for Hazard. Hazard left me bitter that I didn't bring in Alexis. And then I'm going Anichibi to probably Giroud.
Yep,
not in the forward ranks. And then I'm playing my A away. I'll have Kompany and Alonso in the back with Courtois in goal. Because I think Courtois does play this week. I know we saw Begovic last week. But I believe that now the race is for the gold. Now the race is for the Golden Gloves. I believe, unless I'm wrong, I'm going to check it real quick.
Yeah, Tottenham not getting it today, I think, hurts. But
Courtois has 16, Lloris has 15. So
wait, the race. Lloris is behind.
Yeah, I'm reading it off the stat page.
Oh, I think Vorm might have kept a clean sheet or two.
Vorm has one or two, I believe.
Yeah,
Vorm has two. There it is. As a team, Tottenham are leading.
Right. But Lloris individually is not. Man, I would not have guessed that.
Man. Boy, is my face red. Yeah, but so I'm going AOA, Courtois in goal, Alonso and Kompany probably in the back. Riding the bench will be the Southampton duo of Stevens and Yoshida, and then Rob Holding. So then I'll have all my offensive players. I'll have Dele Alli, Coutinho, King, De Bruyne, all Brighton with Jesus, Giroud and Kane up front. Captain wise, I may go just silly stupid and just put it on, like, it'd probably be, I may just put it on Josh King. I've been saying that I feel like this game is going to be stupid crazy, and what we just saw from Leicester today, that they just gave up six goals. Bournemouth are a scoring team. They're going to put some in the net. So, you know, Josh King may be a stupid call, maybe a good reward system for him, you know, providing such good value at a cheap rate.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I have not made a move yet. Like I said, I have a lot of different ways I could go. But if I decided to upgrade significantly instead of just doing gabbledygooks over to Llorente, I could go Giroud for Costa. And that that leaves me a fair chunk of change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, there aren't really any strikers in the eights that I love, though. Oh, man. How about Giroud? Rooney? Rooney in his farewell game or something silly like that. No, I'm saying Giroud is the other one I'd bring in. If I do Giroud for Costa, then I'd be able to upgrade from Gabbiadini to somebody in the eights. But, oh, man, I'm 1 cent away from Jesus. Man, that would have been nice. you know what? If I sold the right player, I bet I could make that up. But anyway, I haven't made my change yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to AOA. But what I do know is I'm leaving that captain thing on Sanchez. As I mentioned last week, I was going to leave it on the guy that brought me to the dance. I did. Obviously paid off. Could have been better with Kane. But Alexis has just done me so well. I think there's about a 7% chance he's in the Premier League next year. And as I mentioned on our DFS show with Yaya Toure, I do have a sentimental part to me. And I didn't get to have Alexis last year because of my no Arsenal rule, because of one of the leagues I was in. I think this is my last chance. My last chance as Chances?
There you go.
Alexis last Chances.
Wow. That's a good one. I like it.
That might be the title, unless I find something better when I go back through this. But any final thoughts? This is the last preview episode. Obviously, next week we'll do some recap and some 2017 preview stuff. But
I mean, it's been a good year. I want to thank everybody for sticking with us, that come in and listen to us. You know, our numbers have grown this year from last year, so I'm hoping for the best for next year. You know, me and Kevin are being diversified. We do a DFS show. We are heard over multiple formats, you know, on iTunes and,
yep,
you know,
we're going to do some draft stuff for Taga over the summer.
Yeah, we are going to be doing some draft style stuff for Taga, as Kevin just mentioned. So pay attention to that. We'll be all over Twitter, you know, pumping our own stuff, because that's what Twitter is for making yourself feel better about yourself.
Yeah, and that Taga stuff, if I'm not mistaken, starts next week, but the following.
The second week in June, I believe it starts, yes.
No, the game. I'm saying our shows. Yeah. Our previews, I think, aren't this weekend, but the following?
I thought they were the second week in June.
But No, that's when the game launches. Our four shows are going to be done by then.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be busy, so I'm going to go in my bat cave and do some stuff.
Fair enough. Tell the folks where they can get at you, man.
You can find me on Twitter, @Smokey_Loogie. That's Loogy. It's a baseball thing. I do bullpens and saves and steals for Razzball.com. Go check it out.
Explain to people what it is, because we've gotten that question a lot.
What? Saves Lugie. And steals?
No.
Lugie? Lugie stands for lefty only one out guy. It's a bullpen guy that comes in. He's a lefty. He monopolizes and is, you know, he's basically Javier Lopez from the San Francisco Giants. A couple, you know, from the they've had a shutdown left-hander is basically what it is. He comes in. He has one job and one job only. He comes in and gets David Ortiz out. That's basically would be his job. It's basically the lefty on lefty neutralization. So I come in, I give my 2 cents, and I get the hell out of there and go to the pub.
There you go. I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Keveroff on Twitter. Both of us have that DFS show that we've referenced multiple times. As we said, we're going to start Taga shows. I think it's in 2 weeks from now. But we'll confirm that on our Twitters. Obviously, you can reach us at EPL Roundtable on Twitter, even though this is the FPL Roundtable. I also write for goal.com, so be sure to check all that stuff out. That's under the gaming tab. I'll have a preview and probably a team of the week up sometime tomorrow. Then a team of the week for match week 38, and then I'll do a way too early, much like our show, way too early preview of next year. Although on that one, I think I'm going to be highlighting best options from the promoted teams.
Yeah, that's good. That'd probably be a good idea. Yeah, and we'll talk about that maybe next week or the week after. That we need some show filler. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of stuff with the Taga stuff. That's going to take us to June. And then that thing that I'm going to tell Rob about off air, which we're going to do right now. Thanks so much for listening. Best of luck to your teams this week, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.